Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
You know what I love about Open Air?
What's that?
Whatever was going on before the show needs to stop. Whatever was going on, stories in the mind, because I can't right now.
No more attending to that.
No. It's good. How are you?
Great. And I know that right now you're great.
Yes, I am. Yes.
Whatever was going on before.
Yeah, we just have this now. Perfect.
That's exactly. It doesn't matter what was going on before, does it? We have no interest.
That's right. So. And I have announcements here.
All right.
According to the Buddha, ignorance is the blindness that prevents us from recognizing the true nature of the self and the universe. You, Sherry, will guide a new email class mirroring, quote, me, unquote, through the Enneagram to clarify the distinction between personality and authenticity. Class begins October 17th and includes 4 Sunday workshops.
Yes, I'm very much looking forward to that.
That sounds thrilling.
Yeah, yeah. It's a great take on an old friend.
Yes, I can't wait. And Reflective Listening Buddies offers awareness practitioners unique support. It requires participants to show up for themselves and another every week for 30 minutes. A new quarter of this popular program begins October 15th, and registration closes tomorrow, October 1st, at 5 p.m. Pacific.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And do you find that your efforts to keep a commitment are sabotaged by conditioning? Our Keeping Commitments Buddy program, also starting October 15th, pairs participants with a buddy for accountability and support. And registration closes tomorrow, October 1st. And if you can breathe, you can do yoga. And twice a month, Yoga for Sangha sends out yoga videos grounded in the themes of awareness practice and especially designed for Sangha. The videos include movement options to accommodate all levels. A new quarter of this popular offering begins October 15th. All proceeds will be donated to Living Compassion in Cantalamba. The deadline to register is October 14th.
And, Michael, if you can't breathe, or if breathing isn't easy, yoga is a great help for that.
Oh, that's an excellent. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it goes both ways.
So breathing is a challenge. Yoga perhaps especially helps.
It's going to help. Mm-hmm.
Great. And for these and other practice opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org. And if you'd like to talk with Sherry tonight, please press *6 and then 1 to make a show and get in the queue. And I would encourage folks to do that. And a conversation on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes is great.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I think we're ready.
Okay. Here we go.
Here we go. First caller, you are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Hello. It's Sequoia calling from California.
Hey, Sequoia.
Hey. Good afternoon, your time.
Good afternoon.
Well, Sherry, I'd like to continue looking at something I was looking at with Ashwini.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just, I work in an area where there are a lot of different spiritual teachers coming through.
Mm-hmm.
And I find myself often, there's a whole lot of projection going on, and I find anger arising a lot, probably contempt, And I'm because there's a projection going on that these folks, some of them at least, I see behaviors that seem very indicative of a relationship with ego. So there's a whole lot that arises for me. And what I saw last week what I saw in talking with Ashwini about this is that I believe one of the things looking at what it is that I'm not permitted to do, and I think one of the things that's going on is that this standard I have to meet in my life continually, you know, that I'm not allowed to do very much until I reach this level of perfection.
Uh-huh.
You know, like, I can't believe these people are billing themselves as spiritual teachers when they have not even, you know,
met my basic standards, for heaven's sake.
They haven't even met. Yes. You know, and so anyway, I would like some more guidance around this, or just some areas to ways to work.
Yeah, well, it is fun to look at. You remind me, Sequoia, of two. I'll tell you two stories while we go on with this. But I used to teach at a place in another state. Let's just say that. And the first time I was there, there's an office right next to the kitchen. I was in the office because in those days, that was the only place. This was before cell phones, if you can imagine. So that was the place where the phone was. And I went in there, and the walls were just covered with cartoons making fun of spiritual teachers. And I was just kind of dumbstruck. A couple of things about it. One, that you know, why would you want to do that? And I mean, what a hostile, aggressive thing to do, right? That you invite people there, you invite people there, and it'd be like inviting people over to your home, and then they come into the dining room. And you've got all kinds of things on the walls making fun of them. You know, you think, well, that just doesn't seem very friendly, right? But it was considered fine because somehow they were in a position to judge the people who were coming through, which, of course, takes this, and I think this is part of what you're getting at, it's a superior place to be, right? Mm-hmm. So these people are spiritual teachers, and I am certainly far more advanced than they are because I can see how hypocritical and what frauds they are and what ridiculous creatures they are. So that whole process is really interesting, right? And which I think is the one you're grappling with.
Right.
And then the other one that I thought about was it was actually kind of an enlightenment moment for me where I had just sat a sesshin with another Zen center, and we finished. And I mean, this is somebody was just telling me about sitting a sesshin, and they were in private rooms. Well, they shared it with one other person, but you had two people in with, you know, in a bathroom, and all. We slept on the floor. Okay, we were on the floor in this. House, you know, somebody's house, they gave it to the people, and that's where we were sleeping. So, I mean, this, now I'm doing credentials here, right? I mean, this is hardcore, right? And so we finished the session, and I walk outside, and the two monks who had been guiding the whole thing were standing there in their leather Birkenstocks, smoking cigarettes. And I stood there, and what was happening in my mind is, why? Well, why not? Why?
Yeah.
Why not? But why? And that was the enlightenment moment, of course, where, you know, being confronted with that, with everything that was going on in me, right?
Mm-hmm.
And my, what, they weren't qualified to guide this sesshin because they wore leather shoes and smoked cigarettes? Really? Really? Where is that written down? Right? So, yeah. So it just takes us to me, to one of those places where, you know, it just brings us right back to ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Which, if, you know, Sequoia, I bet you would agree with me, is a wonderful role for a spiritual teacher.
To bring it right back to ourselves.
To bring us right back to ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's such a scam for ego. You know, I mean, I've been in this role for a lot of decades, and I know the game that people get pulled into with their egos of finding out what is wrong with somebody so that that it's not, so I'll be that person, right? So you're mm-hmm. a spiritual teacher, and if I can find out what's wrong with you, I don't really have to practice.
Yeah.
It doesn't actually say anything about you as a spiritual teacher. It's just that it lets me off the hook. Because the whole thing is a con. It's a scam.
Yeah.
It doesn't really, right? And what I hope we get to is, I don't care if it's a con or a scam for everybody mm-hmm. else in the world. I'm working out my own salvation diligently.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Yes, as you're saying that, it is such a coup for ego because it's a terribly lonely place. It's a terribly, terribly isolated place.
Yes. Yes. So it gets everybody, right? Ego mm-hmm. ego gets everybody. Gets the teacher by, bad-mouthing them, uh-huh. even if no words are ever spoken, and gets you, especially gets you. Really, I mean, we can see in it, in what you're describing, you're the only person who suffers.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, they're not suffering because you're judging
them. No, they're having a good time.
Well, as far as we know, that's what we project, but we actually don't know.
Well,
can I offer something else to consider? Before I ask you where you're going with it?
Yeah.
Well, I think it would be a really interesting thing if you wanted to take it on, to approach one of these people and mm-hmm. and ask them the questions that you have. And just see what they say.
Yeah. Boy, that would take it right out of the head, you know, with ego and just
And give them a chance. Give them a chance to participate in the situation.
Wow. Well, it's very interesting. Life and its infinite wisdom has plopped me down with a landlord right now who I live in very close proximity to, who is a teacher.
Well, that's really handy. Then they could definitely be in your sights. Then you have every opportunity to ask them the questions that you have.
Yeah. And he seems to be interested in engaging me in that. Because boy, this is just this has been causing suffering for a while, and even having the awareness, you know, that this, just the head awareness, I know this has nothing to do with that person that's standing across from me. Everything to do.
This is all projection.
It's all projection. Mm-hmm. And still seem to be, Well, just knowing that isn't enough. I still seem mm-hmm. to be quite caught up in this projection.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting, isn't it? Because so there I am. I'll be the person, okay? Because otherwise mm-hmm. I get really confused about which one you are and which one I am and which one the teacher is. And, you know, it's very difficult. So so I am projecting that this – how would you characterize it? Is it that they're a hypocrite? Is it that they are – are they phony? Are they deceptive? What are they doing?
Well, hypocrite, and also this is so like, you know, all the, this is so embarrassing, but you know, because this tells you a whole lot about me. It's all about them, you know.
Uh-huh.
They're really focused on me. Here's me, being really focused on me. You know, getting angry at them because they're so me-focused.
Yes. Oh, isn't it perfect? Isn't it really perfect? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's the blessing, right? That's the blessing. Uh-huh. So, you know, we get to that place of, and I really need to make a deep gusho to that person the next time I see them because what a workshop they've provided for me.
What a workshop.
And then the next piece of it seems to me that to tackle it inside, right? Because that ego voice that is condemning them, judging them, mm-hmm. it's all about that ego.
Yeah.
So that's where it starts, right? It starts with the ego. The ego projects it onto them. And then when mm-hmm. ego gets caught, it projects it onto you. But really, it all comes back to that ego voice in the head.
Ego. Yeah,
that's the only place it actually exists. Any of it exists,
right? Oh my God! And you know, and I'll be there thinking, ego projecting. Right? I don't even think they know about an ego voice. You know, you know.
As I listen to the ego voice telling me that they don't know.
The ego voice. I know. You know, they'll never measure up to, you know, Sherry, and never measure up to Ashwini. And it's like, oh my gosh. So, life is just so wonderful.
It's so compassionate, isn't it? It's so kind.
Yeah. It is.
Just puts it right in our faces and then helps us see it. Yeah.
It has put me right, it's right up in my face, and it's not letting me go. It's not letting me go till who knows
till
what.
Till you see it
till
what
I see it.
Is. Yeah. Not till you see them, not till you see her, but till you see it.
See it.
And,
okay.
you know, that would be a great place, Sequoia, I don't know if Ashwini mentioned this, but for an interview, interview that voice and, and really find out. Now, what is it exactly that you, that you're projecting onto these other?
Yeah. Let's have a talk about this. Okay.
Let's have a talk,
interview and talk with the folks that, okay, great.
You got your assignment? Okay, and
I
you'll
got
let
my
us know.
Assignment.
All
I'm
right.
good to go. Okay.
All right. Thanks,
All right.
Sequoia.
Thank you, Gusho.
Go happy.
Go happy.
Thanks for joining us, Sequoia. Sherry, as you two were talking, I was seeing the hall of mirrors that conditioning gets me in. And I'm unable to see my way out. And fascinating.
Well, except, Michael, as I think you know, as soon as you realize you're in a hall of mirrors, you're actually out of it.
Yes.
So
yes.
We can always take comfort in that.
Mm-hmm. Fascinating.
Mm-hmm. As soon as I know where I am, I can know that I'm not there any longer.
Yes. Yes. Fabulous. And we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Emily from Seattle.
Hey, Emily.
Hi. Oh, my gosh. I put myself in the queue because I wanted to stop feeling bad, and I just You know what? I'm feeling bad because I feel like it's not my turn. And I'm...
No, you're being told that.
Okay. I'm being told it's not my turn.
Yeah.
And I pushed the button because I came right to the call from a really uncomfortable interaction. And I know that I needed some support.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so...
And what is this turn business? You put yourself in the queue and Michael called on you.
Well, okay.
That kind of make it your turn, huh?
Okay. Seems like I was just on, but I was, Amy's really good friend who is writing the eulogy came over to read it to me, and it made me cry, and then there was a section where, you know, she talked to me for an hour about, like, because I don't want to speak, but I wanted to, like, express things, and so I, you know, told her, because I wanted her to express them for me, and so she came to the part where it was, like, about me, what I said, and it wasn't right, and it just... Mm. Like, but
through you,
and yeah, it didn't throw me. It was just like the whole situation of trying to I was trying to fix it, but I felt like so cornered, like I couldn't fix it on the spot. And then I also had this thing going, like part of what I wanted to say was to express gratitude for to all her friends group, and just like a very, very deep place of gratitude. And so I had considered, oh, maybe I should write something separately. So I had all this stuff going of like that was partly based in love and gratitude, and partly based in guilt, and like I have to do the right thing. Am I supposed to say a thank you at the end, or get somebody? Who am I supposed to thank? What am I supposed to do? So it was all tied in up, and it just got taken over by self-hate and this loving friend and this potentially, I mean, this loving thing she was doing. It just became fodder for ego, and they felt just horrible the whole time, and like pressure to get the words right. Like she was trying to write the words, and I can't work like that. I want to like process it and think about it and get the words right. And she was trying to like, okay, how should I say it? I couldn't just accept what was going on, and just
you couldn't do it.
Okay, yeah, I couldn't do it right then.
Yeah, you couldn't do it right then. And so, Emily, this is just a curious place. So what would be the problem with you writing out what you want to have said, and then asking someone to read it? Why does it have to be part of what somebody else is saying?
I could do that, and I did. I wrote something out, what I wanted to say.
Mm-hmm.
And then I sent it to her and said, oh, what do you think of this? Or did you already say this in your eulogy? And then she thought she had. So then that was where we were trying to do the wording, and then I was, it was like I was trying to fit something that I wanted to say into her speech.
Yeah, and so, now, of course, I have no part of this, so I just want to ask these questions and point out a couple of things, right? This is a memorial service,
mm-hmm.
right? this is a group of people getting together to say goodbye to someone they love.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's anybody there who's going to say, oh, well, you know, that was already said in the eulogy. Right?
No, yeah.
Probably what each of you want to say is going to be what everybody there wants to say and hear. Right? So would what you said have a slightly different focus or tone or whatever than her friend who's doing the eulogy? Yeah. Because that's her friend who's doing the eulogy, and you're her partner.
Mm-hmm. And just, what will happen is I'm going to stress about, but I should thank that person and that person, and isn't it my mm-hmm. job to mm-hmm. thank the mm-hmm. people who provided the venue and that?
Well, is that really what you want to do, or are those thank you notes?
I don't know.
I'm just curious that you know, is that really the job of the partner of the deceased at the memorial service to offer thank you to other people for whatever they did as their expressions of love and loss?
I don't know. I don't know what the rules are.
I don't either. But I'll tell you, this is what I do know, Emily. If it's causing you to be stressed and to suffer, there is nobody on the planet who wants that.
That this is causing me to be stressed. Writing this or expressing
that.
That's
right. Only egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate wants to add stress to what you're going through right now. Nobody else does. Nobody's going to be sitting there saying, and you know, Emily didn't even thank the people who provided the venue. Nobody's going to do that.
Hmm. Well, I'm not sure. Nobody.
Well, you know what? If somebody does, Emily, you can't help them. You really can't. Yeah?
No.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's kind of like the previous conversation. There's such a gap between what's actually going on and what the voices in the head want to have us focus on and make us feel.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just so confusing, because some of it comes from love, like writing that, and then hate comes to say, don't say it, get it right, have somebody else say it, don't, and then that makes it stress. I don't want to just throw the whole thing out and say that's stress. I want to, but if it's causing me stress, then I don't want it. But then, I mean, it's like getting in the queue.
Well,
let
me belabor this point, okay? Is the stress because, so again, she has a friend who's going to do the eulogy, right? Who's going to do all the details and the memories for everybody and, you know, kind of MC the whole thing, right? She's going to take that.
Well, just the eulogy, yeah.
Just the eulogy. Okay. Oh, somebody else is going to be orchestrating everybody.
Yeah.
So she's going to do the eulogy. So, right? And that's a different role from you as the wife.
Mm-hmm.
So for you to be able to say what you want to say without any consideration for anything else, that seems to me, that's what I would want.
Mm-hmm.
So it's easy for me to project that. Yeah? That's what I would want. That's what I would want for anybody in your position.
To say what I want to say. But I just don't want
to
get up there and say it.
You don't want to get up there and say it. And I think people are very used to that. The person who is closest, who is, we would all project, is suffering the greatest loss, is often not able to get up there and speak. I mean, some people can. Some
mm-hmm.
people can't.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You're
yeah.
one who can't. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And so for mm-hmm. you to write what you want to say, because this is the time for you to say those things, right? For
mm-hmm.
you to get to express that. And then
mm-hmm.
have somebody else read it, and people get to hear it, and you don't have to be put through that.
Mm-hmm.
Things
okay.
of kindness. And, you know, Emily, beyond that, those voices are going to do what they can to torture you. You're never going to get it right, according to them. Nobody's mm-hmm. ever going to get it right, according to the voices. It's just never
yeah.
going to happen.
Yeah.
We can't
yeah.
look there. We can't look there for, is this right? Does this sound right? Is this the right way to be? Is this what I should be? We can't look there for those answers.
I know. This is going to be over, and then it's going to be the next thing. It's going to do that.
Exactly.
Same thing to the next
exactly.
thing.
Exactly. Until we get to the point, and you will, we will, we all will, get to the point of saying, no. I'm not listening to that. I'm not having that conversation. No. But you're not there right now. This is a very vulnerable time.
Yeah.
You're in a weakened condition, and the voices want to come in and try to destroy you. That's how they do it.
And the relationship with this person. Like, I just felt it just permeated. I hate that it just was like got me focused on the hate, and then I just don't want to, you know, almost like, you know, not liking the person, not just because of
yeah.
the hate. It's not.
Yes.
Just kind
yes.
of took over where there was love.
Yes.
There's hate.
Yes.
And I
yes.
don't want to.
Yes. And you know what? Here's the good news about that. In a time like this, and I wish this extended all the time to everybody, but it doesn't. In a time like this, you get a free pass.
Thank goodness.
Yeah.
I'm going to
yeah,
use
because
it.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Because it's valid. It's valid. This
yeah.
is as difficult and painful as it gets. No, you can't hold yourself to ridiculous standards that would be ridiculous even if nothing were going on in your life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you get to feel how you feel and be how you are and say what you say and do what you do, and it's okay.
Okay.
It's okay.
I'm not that hate. I am not that hate. That is just, yeah. Okay.
It's not you. It's not you. Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, Sherry.
You are so welcome.
Thank you.
You know where we are. Get in the queue
Thank
often.
You.
This is a perfect time. If you can have, what is it, 6 or 8 turns instead of one, this is a good time for that.
Thanks.
Okay. Take good care.
Okay.
Gusho.
Okay. Gusho.
Thanks for joining us, Emily. And that was a precious conversation, Sherry.
God. Those voices are just nasty, aren't they?
Yes, God, they are.
Anybody who doesn't get how nasty they are really needs to listen up.
Mm-hmm.
They are evil.
Yep. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And Sherry, we're going to break for a good news update, and then we'll come back and talk with more callers.
Okay, good. Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome. And Jen, your guest is now live, and I'll turn it over to you for a good news update.
All right. Thanks, Michael. And I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Deepa, who is here to speak with us about her experience of setting up a compassionate structure to assist the heart's work. Welcome, Deepa.
Thank you, Jen.
I understand this is something that you've been looking at since the very first encountering. I guess it was what started with There's Nothing Wrong With You.
That's exactly right.
Love those things that just keep, it's kind of like we were talking about actually earlier in the show, that keep working on us and we keep working on them.
Yes, yes, indeed. The place of grace that enables this constant, ever expanding faith and constant devotion.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes.
So this is a practice win around making content that I've been made to suffer over the whole focus of my life for a month.
Uh-huh. Say more.
And the content in this case is, as you said, a compassionate structure, a schedule that will help support this human have a daily studio practice.
Okay.
And this was something I brought up again in the Socratic email class earlier this year.
Mm-hmm.
And the guidance, just not just for me, but just through the course of that, those 4 weeks across Sangha was at least the pattern that, you know, leapt out at me because this was the focus that I brought to the class, is how are you falling into this hole? You've seen the karmic patterns. It's not helping with the behavior change. So there's nothing else for you to see here. So stop going to sleep and stop falling in the hole.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's so brilliant and so many levels. Uh-huh.
Yes, exactly. And so then of course the question is then how? And the structure is make this the whole focus of your life for the next month. Mm-hmm. And since then, it's been, of course, it's been in one's consciousness. And then when there was an opening in my calendar earlier in September, which said, oh, there's nothing, on the calendar, that this is the perfect time to maybe devote that whole month to looking at how I'm falling into the hole, that's when I started that looking.
Well, just that right there, Deepa, talk about grace, where you have this, I'm going to project, unusual, break in the schedule, like some extra time, and it drops in. Oh, hey, now would be a perfect time to execute on that guidance.
Exactly so, Jen. I mean, that alone is huge, like you said. That,
yeah.
I mean, I could just gush over that alone for the rest of our time. Yes, and then right there was the belief that I was able to see through. So what is this gap in the schedule? What is this freedom in the calendar? And it turns out that just one thing, like a dentist appointment or a car service, was enough for the week for the ego voice to throw in the towel and say, I can't do that this week. I can't. I have to. Right there to see through the belief that what in the calendar stops, that's a place I'm falling into the hole.
And are you saying, Deepa, that car appointment or the dentist or whatever it is, that thing being there would be enough to throw in the towel on the art practice?
To throw in the towel on starting that the month of hope, you're devoting your... Yeah.
Oh, yes. That's so classic. Right. Oh, well, no, you can't do that this month because of the dentist appointment.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's of course, it's laughable now, but, when you're... Of course, we don't see it when one is in it. Yeah.
Right.
And so from there, it's that place of, again, that how place is... that's another whole set of revelations. And so the guidance was, again, from the Socratic class was, you know, think of yourself as a cat just happily sitting outside the mouse hole waiting for the mouse to come out. You're relaxed. There's no stress. There's no urgency. I even made a drawing of the cat, you know, singing, la-da-da-da-da, just having a cup of tea, reading a book, watching and waiting. And so that felt like a really compassionate and light-hearted and a loving place from which to make this calendar. And then the guidance that make every, like, use everything that practice has to offer. Sticky notes, alarms, notes everywhere, anything you can think of. Because the voice comes in and says, oh, look at this elaborate schedule. Look at your tracing paper overlays and your sticky notes. Wow, you would think you're actually sending a man to the moon or something. No, this is no to all of those. I am. This is what I'm devoting my attention to, and I'm going to stick with it for these 4 weeks. So just going back to the guidance for that reassurance was huge.
Yes. Yes, that every time it tries to pull you off into one of those side things, you've got the guidance, in a sense, to anchor back to bring you back here where, no, for this month, this is what I'm doing. This is what I'm devoted to. I'm using every practice tool I know. I'm going to bring it to bear in looking at this thing, to look at how, because I love the way you started, Deepa. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I know this karma. I know that I'm going to get gotten this way. I've seen myself go through this process millions of times. I know every step of it, and I'm still falling in that hole.
Yep.
How is that happening?
Mm-hmm.
So bringing a whole different attitude of mind to it, of, you know, there the cat with the mouse, completely alert, right? Not snoozing, completely alert, but also utterly relaxed. Not making that into the next condition process.
Okay,
there you go. Buckle down, you know, so that decision to be perfect. But just completely here. How?
Yes.
How?
Yeah. And that's exactly it. Because previously, I think the reason why this did not happen is that self-hate and the judgment. Right? So once there is no, like, there's something one of our morning calls recently. You can't come back home. You can't come back to here if you know coming here means another beating.
Right.
So I need to be able to come back here and then be embraced, you know, not chastised, but actually embraced and say, oh, okay, wow, you've seen that. Good for you.
Yeah. Which to me is, there's so much, I'm not sure, you know, sort of goodness with a capital G reflected in the process that you're describing, because the process of being that devoted to, I'm going to do this for a month. I'm going to give it everything I've got, is such an act of love, right? Because there's that person who goes down that hole every time.
Yes.
And really suffers with that.
Yes.
And sort of that willingness to, you know, I think it's maybe in There Is Nothing Wrong With You, but something along the lines of, if there's something between me and the heart, there's nothing more important than stopping and seeing through that. Nothing. And that's what you're doing. You're taking this month to see, what is this?
Yes.
Looking at all the aspects of it, because she matters.
Yes, and in the summer, the guidance that I receive in our summer in-person retreat is when the content is perfect, right? There is great material and everything outside, quote-unquote outside, is there's nothing wrong. And so if there is a place of suffering or discontent and dissatisfaction, which reflects a deviation from what this human values as essential and deeply, the heart longs for deeply, then the way for me to say thank you to life, and that was the guidance that was offered, was be happy. And the way to do that is to embrace this with a wholeheartedness in a thank you to life. I mean, I've been given everything. I'd like to say thank you. I'd like to pay attention for this month, please.
Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Yeah. But that's a wonderful way to express gratitude for all we've been given.
Yes.
Through that
and
process.
That's my experience, Jen. And just quickly, the beliefs that I've seen through like what constitutes work. So only oil painting is work, study or even drawing is not work, to see through that. The belief that I need 6 hours a day for it to be a work day, maybe I only have 3 hours of creative, intense creative work in me. So what if I split that up into two 90-minute segments and see how that suits this life's rhythm? And seeing that that's wonderful, that's in fact perfect. So just the beliefs of like busting through one belief after another about what constitutes work, what is valid, what's legitimate, you know, has been huge.
You know, I'm so glad you brought that piece in, Deepa, because what it illustrates is that when we get to the place that I project you're describing, which is, okay, first of all, it's crucial that the training is every time I come back to love. I do not come back to a beating, right? That's you know, job one. Once you do that, then you begin to be able to truly be in a guidance conversation, literally with the guide, with practice, with life, we could say. And as you do that, you begin to ask the questions, gosh, you know, there's a clarity about this process that happens, but it keeps happening. So then you begin to ask those crucial questions. And even just in the process of turning to wholeheartedly take it on, there's such a giant shift there. And then I project what you're describing is, then you start to actually see the mechanics of how it's happening, and you get to make a difference in the actual life experience. Oh, okay, well, gosh, there's this hidden belief that, you know, a day's work is 6 hours. And if it's not 6 hours, then, so no wonder there are all these beatings. No wonder there's a feeling of not being successful. No wonder there's a feeling of not even wanting to do it, because if I'm required to, you know, show up for 6 hours and I don't have those 6 hours in me, then, you know, I'm set up for failure right from the start. But once you start seeing all those beliefs, you can start trying out all these different ways of doing it.
That's been my experience, Jen. It's been glorious.
It's so fun. It's such a fun process, kind of turning that corner of like, all right, let's take this on. You know, nope, there's nothing wrong with it. And let's take it on. Let's see what's going on here and see what else is possible.
Right there, that's the astonishment I'm in, Jen, that when Sangha reports, oh, I'm choosing to focus on this the entire month, there is that, oh, how they did, you know, all of that. And then to be given this opportunity to that grace and this whatever, the being led to this place has just been amazing.
And then the cherry on top is that you get to be here and talk about it with us so that we all get to hear about it. So that is perfect.
It is indeed.
Thank you so much, Deepa, for being with us today.
Oh, deep gusho. Thank you, Jen.
Gusho to you. And Michael, we'll turn it back over to you and Sherry.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Deepa. And welcome back to Open Air with Sherry Huber, and that was fabulous.
That was inspiring.
Yeah.
Right? Great. Yeah. Boy, I mean, we say yes to something, and ooh, everything gets on board to help us be successful.
Indeed. Exactly, sir.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. This is J.O. in Squim.
Hey, J.O.
Hey. I just wanted to look at a little, you know, I had this insight a while back of seeing how, like, it feels like so much of this life has been shoulds, like what I think other people, you know, think I should do, or what projections, but just such a should, right? Like that's just been a motivator, you know, huge for a long, long time. And I looked at that in a practice setting, and you had encouraged me to look at, you know, well, if there's a should, how about, you know, you should be happy, right? To what was just so beautifully said, like enjoyment is our way to say thank you. So I've really been looking at that, and I'm on this sabbatical, as you know, and And it feels like I stepped into it for a moment of like, there was so much enjoyment and it was amazing. And then I don't know, but I suspect like just the backlash, right? Like I'm letting everyone down and I'm spending, you know, my savings and this is just stupid and I might as well just make money and be unhappy. I mean, just crazy. Like, so anyway, I'm seeing the backlash and like, wait, this is not what I wanted to do. So I wanted to talk about it and get back to what I was intending to do. Yeah.
Yeah, well, and that's such an interesting, so if you're going to be unhappy on a sabbatical, you might as well go to work and be unhappy. That
right.
is
I've been
really
hearing that. Yeah.
kind
yeah.
of letting its, showing its hand, that's the expression, right? So what it's saying is, no, you need to be unhappy, okay? You need to be unhappy. So, you need to be unhappy. So this sabbatical stuff, this is not going to work. We're going to make sure that you're unhappy there. And then you'll just go back to work because that's what you should do. You got to be unhappy.
Mm.
Wow.
Yeah. yeah. Okay.
That's sobering, isn't
it?
That
way, that's helpful. oh, man. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
because Jo, the thing is, you can't be happy on sabbatical, and you can't be happy working. That's
right.
That's basically what it has said.
Yeah.
You're just not going to be happy. Period. We're going to make sure of that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Because
it's really,
you know,
if
it's okay, you should do this, that, and the other, and then you'll be happy. We can fall for that. I think you were indicating that you had fallen for that. But now it's taken it up to the next level. No, you're not going to get to be happy. Do whatever.
Yeah.
you're not going to be happy. Oh, doesn't that kind of tick you off?
Well, when I hear you say it, that helps. I hadn't really gone there yet. But okay, right? Yeah. I'd like to get to that. Like,
Well, I mean, that's what you just laid out.
Yeah.
So, and you're right. You know, you're not supposed to see it that clearly. Because we get pulled into this side of it, and then this side is presented, and then we talk about it over here. So all these, you know, tangents, and we're not supposed to see where they're all starting, which is, we're going to make you suffer, because that's where we get our juice.
Yeah, no matter what you do. Yeah.
No matter what you do.
Yeah. Okay, well, I don't want to go with that.
No. No. That's not right.
No. Yeah. Which I think is why I unmuted, because it was like, wait a minute, this is, I want to, step out of that one. Yeah.
Well, and to me, when it's so, cards on the table, sort of clear, then we can see what our move is. Okay, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to practice being happy whether I'm working or not working.
Yes.
It's kind of your only move, right?
right?
So if you get it, that being happy doesn't work in that conditional world. I mean, they're not even saying that any longer. That if you're the right person, if you do the right thing, then you'll get to be happy. They've gone beyond that. Because you have started doing so many things that make you happy and are not conditional.
Mm.
That's a terrible place for ego, right?
Mm.
So you choose to farm.
Yeah.
And it makes you happy.
Yeah.
Well, that's for ego. That's a no-no. Because what if you get the hang of, well, there are things that you could do and be happy all the time? Well, no. No.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like you're speaking another language a little bit right now. Like it's so script, you know? Because I kind of am trying, because there is this sense of like, yes, it was like, it was almost like this. That door started to open, right? In some sense of like, yes, this unconditional and this different thing, and you know, and then it's like slamming shut. You know, is what it's trying to engineer, right? And I'm just like, oh my
absolutely.
Goodness! Absolutely. Like, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. She's taking a sabbatical. She's not working. And she's happy. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
She's looking at what she could do with her life to put a roof over her head and feed herself. And those would be things that would make her happy. No. No.
Yeah.
How is she going to get talked into suffering under those circumstances?
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, backlash. Of course, backlash.
Yeah.
I mean, and so it's got to scare you, right? So if you choose to be happy, somebody else was just talking about that recently, watching those voices connect making a choice for yourself with bad things happening.
Yeah.
You know, every time you make a choice for yourself, something that you want, something that makes you happy, then something bad is going to happen. And boy, a lot of people are conditioned that way.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, the pull is so strong around that, right? Like, I'm letting people down and I'm not being how I should be and, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, so, yeah, that's very...
But here's the thing, J.O., you no longer believe, this is where you went off the rails, okay? You no longer believe that showing up for other people at your own expense, being the way people want you to be at when you pay a cost for that, you've seen through that, right? Because you've done all of that, and it didn't get you what was promised, right?
Yes.
Everybody didn't say, oh, gosh, that is so wonderful. Now, what would you like? What would make you happy? Let us support you now. Let us take care of you and give to you, because you've been taking care of us and giving to us all this time, and now we want to do that for you. That didn't happen.
Yeah, no, it didn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so when those voices come in that say you should be doing this, you should be doing that, you know that's a crock.
Okay, right. Yeah, yeah. I do. It's got such a familiar ring that it can definitely set me in. And
Well,
oh, gosh.
especially when they tie it in with something like crippling headaches.
Yeah, yes, yep. Yeah.
Yeah. So when that comes along, so there's all of that, you should this, you should that, oh my God, and the stress builds, and besides, you're going to wind up homeless and starve to death with your little shopping cart next to you in the gutter. And the stress of that, right, and then it gets a person to be sick, because stress will make us sick, sure enough, right?
Yeah.
And then... Right, and then we it's meant to get us to that place where we say, okay, what? Just tell me what to do. I'll do whatever you say. And you're not doing that.
No. Hmm. No. I don't want to choose that again. I've chosen that so many times. Yep, so that's why.
Right. You're not going back, as they say.
No, yep. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No. I guess it's like, you know, riding it out. We're like, say, like, okay,
right.
I'm like, is that where I am in this? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, goodness. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Exactly that. I mean, it's the hold on to the zafu, right? It's okay, I'm breathing, I'm staying here, I hear the voices, I'm not going to believe them. I'm not going to go with them. I'm going to redirect attention. You know, as the good news, you know, I'm going to use every practice support. I'm just going to keep turning my attention to what I know is true. I want to be happy. I want to be healthy. I want to be of service. That's my life plan. And I'm going to focus on that, and this will pass. Mm. Now, what we know is this will also return. But that's right. Okay, because every time it hits us and we keep standing, it's got less and we've got more.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. And I get to farm, which is the best place to practice. So I'm so grateful exactly. for that.
Oh, yeah, it's hard to farm and be unhappy. It's hard to farm and believe those voices, to believe voices that want us to believe there's nothing good, there's nothing possible, it's never going to work, it's always going to, you know. Mm.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really
and that's
hard
what,
to, yeah.
You know, and that's really important. That's what we've got to do. We have to keep choosing the things that light us up, that make us happy, that strengthen us. We have to keep choosing those.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. Oh, okay. Well, thank you so much.
You are so welcome. And you'll listen back to this, right, for the those moments where the voices want to go, no, what she said is you really need to stop this sabbatical nonsense and get a job.
Oh, please, somebody quickly. Yeah.
Yeah. Find somebody, please.
Yeah, exactly. That program is definitely trying to scream at me, so I will listen back so I can know that that's not what you said to do.
That's not it. Okay. Yeah. Thank you, Jo.
Right. Thank you so much.
Go happy.
Go happy.
Thanks for joining us, Jo. And wow, Sherry, that was amazing. Amazing conversation.
Mm-hmm. Good stuff, huh? Good stuff for us to remember to have the courage to practice. You know, I'm not going with that. I have this one human being, and I have an obligation to help this human being to happiness. It is our authentic nature. I need to deliver on that. That's what I'm going to be in service to first. And from that, it'll just spread out to everyone and everything. That's my job.
Yeah, one human being mm-hmm. saved.
That's right. That's right. The one human being who can then show up to actually be helpful.
Wow.
Yep.
That's awesome.
That's us. That's what we're on to.
That's what we're on to.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you. Go happy.
Go happy.